morning. Thank you for coming out only a few days before Rosh Hashanah. Many of us probably would like to be cooking right now, including myself. What? Special thank you to my parents for coming, and of course my daughter. Always appreciate it. As we are approaching Rosh Hashanah, as we're about to stand and say so many prayers, including Chatasi, Havishi, Pashati, I sinned. God, I promise you, I'm going to be better. It's going to be a good year. I'm going to change. And then you stop. And you question. Am I really? I said it last year. Am I a different person this year? Did I change? Do we have the ability to change? Can we be different people than we were last year? But I have a totally different question for you. Don't you sometimes wonder, when you're looking at your children or your siblings, how is it possible that these children who are so different grew up in the same house, had the same parents? All of us parents, of course, believe we treat every child equally and the same. So how come they're so different? Why are there so many personality differences, talents that are different between my children? And we're not surprised, because it's true in every single family. However, what sometimes is surprising is how destinies of our families are different. I'll tell you what I mean. We look at the family of Yaakov, and there's 12 sons. And we're not surprised that these 12 sons are incredibly different. They each have a different persona. They all each have a different personality, which maybe in years and years, I'll be able to keep coming here and give you them all. But when you look at his family, what surprises me the most are the two sons of his that are the most the same. Shimon and Levi present themselves as incredibly similar. Similar personalities, similar natures, the same story. But when you look to the future, their destinies are so radically different that it's almost shocking. If you look at source number one, Levi's destiny is to be the leader of Am Yisrael. Not just in terms of individuals, but in terms of the entire tribe. God says, "V'ani hinei lakachti et achecham ha-Leviim mitoch b'nei Yisrael." I have selected the Leviim specifically from amongst every other tribe to be special to me. La'avod et avodat ol moed. They work in the Mishkan. They work in the Beit HaMikdash. They are the selected tribe of God. Not only that, they are the teachers of Am Yisrael, source 2. When you have a problem, where are you supposed to go? Ubata, Ela Kohanim, Halevim, the Ela Shofet. Go to the Kohen, go to the Levi, go to the leaders, and ask them your questions. And then when they tell you the answer, Vishamartam Lasoka Holoshayrucha, you better listen to every word that they tell you. You better listen to everything that Levi tells you, because he's in charge, he's the leader, and he's your teacher. That's the destiny of Levi. Then we look to Shimon. And what do we find? Source 3. Mikol hashvatim yatsu shoftim u'malachim. From every tribe they had some form of leader. At least one. A shofet, a judge, a melech, a king. U'mishevet Shimon lo kam lo shofet v'lo melech. Not a soul from Shimon. Not one single leader in our history comes from Shimon. Levi, a tribe of leaders. Shimon, not a soul. So I need to ask, here are two brothers that seem to have the same personality, the same traits, the same story in Bereishit, but yet their future is completely different. And not only that, their descendants actually end up killing each other. How does this happen? And I want to see if we can use this to come back and talk to us about tshuva, and how there is this ability to change, or not ability to change, from year to year. So let's start from the very beginning. When we go to the very beginning of the story, Shimon and Levi's story again is the same. We have a marriage of Yaakov who gets tricked into marrying Leah, the wife he didn't want to marry. And you could believe with an understanding that Yaakov was not so happy. And therefore that is reflected in his relationship with his marriage to Leah. And you see the struggle as she names her children. It is so tragic. Her first child, source 4, Reuven. She calls him Reuven ki ra'a Hashem ba'ani ki ataya venu ishi. God has seen my torture. Maybe my husband will love me. Please God, I want my husband to love me because he doesn't. What a sad name to give a child. What a terrible name to walk around with. Wow, my father doesn't love my mother. But there's a slight glimpse of hope. Maybe when I have this child, now things will change. And then Shimon's born. And Shimon is called Shimon. Why? Ki shama Hashem ki snua anochi. Yeah, no hope anymore. I'm hated. That's it, says Leah. My husband hates me. And here's my child, and I don't like him because vayitim li gamet zeh. Ugh. God gave me this because I'm hated. There seems to be such a depression in Leah. Now I understand if you look at the Mefarshim, they debate, is she truly hated or does she just feel hated? But in terms of the naming of the children, it is strong and it is harsh. Comes child number 3, Levi, into this family where his father seems to hate his mother or his mother feels hated by his father. And here's his name. This time a slight glimmer of hope appears. Oh, Atah Hapam Yoveh She'alai, please God, maybe this time my husband will come to me. Why? Because I gave him 3 sons. Come on. Maybe now he'll love me again. But it is clear that the sons of Leah, the first 3, are clearly aware of this terrible situation going on between their parents. Reuven reacts in a very rebellious way, trying to get his father's attention, trying to get his father to recognize him as the Bechor, the oldest son, trying to show him, even though I'm the son of Leah, I still deserve that status, I deserve the leadership role. Shimon and Levi react differently. They're not the oldest. They don't think they deserve leadership, but they deserve respect. And they feel their mother deserves to be loved, but they don't act out against their father. They act out against the world. What gets engulfed inside of Shimon and Levi is an extreme feeling of how unfair things can be and how to fight against injustice. Because when something is wrong, it makes me mad. There is anger inside of Shimon and Levi. And it comes from the way they are born, from their family setting. If something is wrong, we need to say so. We need to fight. We need to be angry, even if that means we need to be violent. They have an anger against unjust. They have something called kena'ut. They are zealous. They will do things even to the extreme when they think there is something wrong. We will fight against the down. We will help to fight to help the downtrodden. We will do what's right. I don't care if it's rash. And I don't care if it's violent. That is Shimon and that is Levi. But they specifically try to fight against the unfairness to the family of Leah. They see it with their own eyes, not only in their naming, but also in Source 5. When they meet up with Esav, they see with their own eyes that their father treats them differently. Rachel and Yosef hidden in the back, away from Esav so that they won't get hurt. The Shvachot and their children, the maidservants, put in the front as guinea pigs, and Leah and her sons in the center. They are not as important as Rachel and Yosef. And they know it. With every ounce of their being, they know it. And they feel it is unfair. But Shimon and Levi are a unit. And we see that clearly in source number 6. When Yaakov blesses them on his deathbed, Shimon v'Levi Achim, says all the Mefarshim, whoa, they're all brothers, there's 12 of them. What do you mean Shimon and Levi Arachim, they are brothers? And why only them two are blessed together, or not blessed, but are spoken about together as a unit? Not even Yisachar and Zevulun get one sentence from Yaakov. And the Ramban tells us because they act like brothers. Achim gmurim domim umitachim ze lazeh be'itzatan umatehem. They're so together as a unit. They're brothers in every sense of the world, in their ideas, in their actions. The two of them are always together. They are a tufa. They are a team. So then we really need to question why their futures are so different. They seem so attached, they seem so similar. And maybe I could start to answer that Levy's not as extreme as Shimon. Maybe I could say it. By the fact that Levy's name was a little better, there was a little glimmer of hope. And then when I get to Yehuda, the next son, in Source 7, she's happy. Hapam odet Hashem. Things are changing, says Abar Brunel. Why am I happy? Shani ahuva odet Hashem. Because I'm loved finally. Yaakov finally is starting to love me, child 4. So maybe I could say in child 3, things are a little better than child 2. And therefore the hatred and the anger is a little bit stronger in Shimon, who has a worse name. Maybe Shimon's more extreme than Levi. But it seems from the next story, they act in unison. What's the famous story of Shimon and Levi? It comes up in Bereishis chapter 33, Lamed Daled 34, source number 8. Their daughter of Leah, the daughter of Leah goes out, her name is Dinah. She goes out one day and the prince Shechem sees her. Vayikach otah, he takes her. Vayishkav otah, vayaneha, he has sexual relations with her. He rapes her, he hurts her. And then he has the audacity to turn to the family and to turn to his own father to make the request to her family, Kachli Tayalda Zolisha, I want to marry this woman. What injustice! This is the epitome of everything Shimon and Levi hates. You're hurting my family, you're hurting the daughter of Leah. You want to marry her after the way you treated her. Ki nivala asabi Yisrael, source 9. This is an obscenity, it's an atrocity. How dare you do such a thing? V'chein lo yaseh. This is not done. You don't do this to the family of Yaakov. You don't do this to the daughter of Leah. We are not surprised that Shimon and Levi are going to react in a rash in a violent way. But in order to really understand the story, I need to point out who did what in our story. So let's look together at source number 10. Let's focus on Yaakov. Yaakov hears first what happens to his daughter Dinah. He hears first. V'hacharish Yaakov ad boam, and he's silent. He does nothing. He waits for the brothers to come home. But in the meantime, Hamor, the father of Shechem, the king, comes to talk father to father, to Dinah's father. Let's make a negotiation. Yaakov never speaks. The brothers come home, and Shechem now speaks in the next pasuk at Aleph, El Aviha Velacheha, talking to the father as well as to the brothers. Yaakov never speaks. Yaakov does nothing. He is silent till the end of the story, pasuk Lamed, where Yaakov yells at Shimon and Levi for what they've done. That's Yaakov in our story. Then let's go to the brothers, Bnei Yaakov. The Bnei Yaakov come back from the field, now I'm in Pasuk Zion, but you should be following me in order. They come back from the field and they get mad, unlike their father who has no reaction at all. Vayichar lahem ma'od, they are angry, they get upset. How dare somebody do this? They speak up. In the negotiations, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayanu, Bnei Yaakov, they speak. They come up in Mirma with a trick, a plan, Bnei Yaakov. The end of the story, Chav Zayed, Bnei Yaakov comes and they loot the city and they steal all the things. What does Shimon and Levi do? We always say this is a Shimon and Levi story. Well, what did they actually do different than everybody else? Well, here it is, Pasuk Chav Hei. We all know they tell Shechem and the city that if you want to keep Dina, you got to get everybody to have a bris milah, and then you can marry Dina, and we'll all be one family. It'll be beautiful. On the third day, when everyone's in pain because they all got that bris milah, vayichu, amin pasuk chavhei, vayichu, shnei b'nei Yaakov, shimo v'levi, achei Dina, ish harbo, they take their swords, they are violent, they are rash, they are angry. Vayavo alir habetach, the city that thinks they're secure, no issues are about to come. Vayargu kol zachar, they wipe out all the males of the city. And why? End of the next pasuk. Vayichu et Dina, mibeit Shechem vayetzei. They rescue their sister. That's their goal. We need to rescue our sister. At the end of the story, they alone are yelled at by their father, pasuk Lamed, and they respond back to him in Lamed. And that ends our chapter. So I look at Shimon and Levi for a second, and I just want to question, are they in unison the entire time, or can I differentiate? And maybe I could argue, maybe Shimon's name always comes before Levi, so maybe Shimon was the one in charge, and Levi following his lead, Shimon being angrier, Shimon being stronger. And I could argue it. I give you source 11 here, that the Gemara is talking about the brothers of Avraham, where the Pasuk says it's Avram, Etznachar, Etharan. And I need to know, is Avram older, or why is Avram first? And the Gemara says there's two possibilities. One is Avram is older. That's why he comes first. And the second possibility is it's to tell me something else. Derech Achmatan Kachashiv Lahu. To tell me that Avram is superior. He's superior in knowledge, he's superior in status, so he goes first. Or in source 12, why does Miriam's name come before Aaron when they're speaking Lashon Hara about Moshe? Comes Rashi and says, he patcha b'divor tchila. Not because, it could be because she's older, but it could be also because she spoke first. She instigated. And therefore I could argue, maybe, Shimon's name comes before Levi either because he's older and therefore they are equal. Or I could say Shimon's name always comes before Levi because he's the instigator. He's a little bit stronger. He's a little bit angrier. He's a little bit more violent. And Levi follows in his lead. I'm not sure. But what I certainly do see is that Shimon and Levi are put in a separate category than the rest of the brothers. So with that, I need to ask you two questions. Question number one is, were Shimon and Levi wrong? Did they do something wrong here, or were they right? They rescued their sister. Number two, I need to ask, since everyone seems to be involved here, why are only Shimon and Levi yelled at? Let me go to question two first. If I look at the psukim, which I gave you again in source 13, Vayanu b'nei Yaakov et Shchem ve'et Hamor aviv b'mirma, all of the brothers are involved in the trick. They all say, have a bris milah. They all say it. They're all there. They're all present. It's even possible Yaakov is present as well. It never says he leaves. So therefore, why is Shimon and Levi blamed for a plan that everybody agreed on? Why are they the only ones getting into trouble? Three answers. Answer number one, given by the Radak, it's that simple. It says, Radak in source 14, yes, they all had the plan. Radak said Yaakov had left. He didn't know the plan. But the brothers all sat together and came up with this plan. But there's a difference between planning and doing. The brothers planned it. But v'achar kach manu atzmami yaratami b'nei yaharetz, they chickened out. They didn't do it. But Shimon and Levi, amdu al da'atam harishona v'lo pachadu. They weren't scared. They didn't. So yes, it is true, the brothers should be partly to blame. But the ones who do it, they're the ones who receive the blame. Shimon and Levi deserve to be rebuked because they did it. Answer number two, Shimon and Levi did something no one knew they were going to do. The plan possibly was have a bris milah, sneak into the town, kill Shechem, kill Hamor, rescue Dina, go home. Shimon and Levi come up with a chiddush, kill the whole town. Kill all the men. And therefore they're screamed at. Or answer three, the Ramban. He says, look closer at the words. What was the trick? What was the plan? Source 15. If you look closely, the brothers talk about a bris milah. You all should have a bris milah at the end, Pasuk Yud Zayin. V'im lo tishmu'u eleinu limol v'lakachnu et bitenu v'lachnu. What was the plan? I'll tell you something ridiculous. Ridiculous, Shem. You want Dina? Sure. I'll give you the most ridiculous deal. Tell everyone in your city to have bris milah. What are the brothers thinking? The town's going to say, yeah, right. What, you want her? Pick a different girl. Have a bris milah. We're all going to go through surgery, right? No, we're not. So the town's going to say no. They're going to come back to the brothers and say, I'm sorry, the town won't all have a bris milah. And they'll say, okay, and we'll take back our sister. That's it. That was the plan, says Ramban. Nothing to do with murdering anyone. No one was supposed to get hurt. They were just supposed to say something that was ridiculous. Says Ramban, I'm still in source 15. Ki chashvu shelo ya'asu came b'nei ha'ir. They never assumed the city of Shechem would say, yeah, sure, we'll do it for you. We're so loyal to you, O prince. They never assumed it. But there was a plan B, says the Ramban. What if the town did have the bris milah? What was the plan, says Ramban, on day three, when they're all in pain, they were going to sneak into the palace and rescue Dina and go home. That was it. That was the plan. What did Shimon and Levi do on day three? Murder everybody. That was Shimon and Levi's idea. That was a secret. The brothers didn't know Shimon and Levi are to blame. So now I understand Shimon and Levi did something different than everybody else. But now I want to know, were they wrong? Were they wrong or were they right? And I think you can argue both ways, as do the Mefarshim. If I want to say they were wrong, they should not have done this, it's easy to see in the Psukim. As we know, the end of the story, Yaakov screams at them. Yaakov rebukes them. And we know Yaakov doesn't even rebuke Reuben when Reuben does something wrong. So they must have done something really wrong that Yaakov decided to yell at his sons. Not only does he yell at his sons immediately after the story, he then yells at them again on his deathbed, his final words to his son, Source 17. He screams at them, Bisodam, Al Tavo Nashi, Bikalam, Etechat Tvodi, you, I want you nowhere near me, he says, keep Apam Hargu'ish with your anger. You killed, you murdered Arur Apam Ki'az, I curse your anger. I curse your personality. Wow, are those harsh words to say to your sons before you die? He was mad. And if he was mad, it must be because they did something wrong. And he tells them they will be punished. Va'afitzem b'Yisrael, you will be scattered. Not only am I yelling at you, but I'm going to punish you and your children in the future because you did something wrong. And if I've tried to understand why I think they did something wrong, I think we all believe with all of our hearts murder is wrong. And they murdered lots and lots of people. So of course they did something wrong, as the Ramban points out in Source 18. I could maybe rationalize Shem, we'll talk about Hamor, but they killed Anshei Ha'ir, Asher Lo Chatulot. What did they do wrong? What do you murder a city for? Then they must have done something wrong. And I even want to argue, though it hurts me to make this argument, I have to tell you, that in the world of Torah, which is not equal in the way we think about it today, I would say in Source 19, when talking about a woman who was raped, if you look, the same language is used that I highlighted, ki asta nivala b'Yisrael, same words from our psukim. And it talks about if a man finds a nara betula, which would be a good description of dina b'pasach havchet, v'tafsha, and he grabs her, v'shachav ima, and he sleeps with her, he rapes her, which is very similar to our story of v'yikach, v'yishkal, v'yaneha. He took her, and he slept with her, and he hurt her. Same psukim. Says the Torah, what are you supposed to do? And the Torah says he's supposed to give money. He's supposed to give money to the father, give money to the family, and then he must marry her, and he must never divorce her. Now, I know that hurts when I read these psukim, but that's exactly what Shechem did. Shechem felt bad afterwards. V'daber aliba, he tried to calm her down. I'm sorry. And he loves her. And then what does he do in our story? I gave you the psukim. He asks if he could marry her, and he gives money to the family. So then you start to question again in our value system, but in the Torah it sounds like he doesn't deserve to die for that. He did the right thing after the fact, so maybe Shimon and Levi had no right to murder him. Let's argue the other side. Chas v'shalom, I didn't even want to talk about this in terms of myself, but if a parent has a child who murders a city, what is the rebuke you would give to your child? How dare you? That's horrible. What evil you just did. Get out of my house. You are terrible people. What have you learned? That's right. Okay, something like that. Okay, what did Yaakov say? Source 20. Vayomer Yaakov el Shimon vel Levi. Here we go. We're ready for harsh mussar, and we're not going to find it. Achartam oti lahavisheni biyoshev haaretz. Oh, you brought trouble on me. How could you do that? You ruined my reputation. All the people living amongst us now, the Kani, the Prizi, and all of them. They're all going to be like, oh, that's a troubled family. So now let's go and let's kill them. And now we're going to be in trouble. Is that the response you would have had? No. Unless they didn't do something wrong. And then you're just worried about the consequences of their actions. You're not angry about their actions. You're angry about what might be. And then if you look at Source 21, the next parak tells us that Yaakov was wrong. Vayesu, they travel, and nobody was trying to fight with them. Nobody was mad. Vayesu, vayichitat Elohim, al-harim. The people around them are scared of them. Shimon and Levi taught everyone a lesson. Don't you mess with my family. Everybody is scared now. Yaakov was wrong. That's not what happens after they kill out the town. And not only that, when the brothers respond back to Yaakov, and they say, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, back up source 20, Vayomer HaKazona Yaseh Tachotenu. Really, Yaakov? Really? You wanted me, Dad, to do nothing? You think our sister is a zona? You think our sister can be taken by a man and raped? You think that's okay? Yaakov is silent. Maybe Yaakov is silent because, you know what? He agrees. You were right. Maybe he's silent because he walks off in a huff. I don't know. Or maybe he's silent not because he actually was. Maybe he's silent because the text, God, cuts off his final word. Because the Torah wanted us to have Shimon and Levi have the final word. Because maybe the Torah wanted us to think they did the right thing. So let me think about it. How did they do the right thing? You know, in those days, before the Torah was given, justice was done in a very different way. If you think about the story of Yehuda and Tamar, who's going to burn her at the stake for not waiting around to marry Shelah. And maybe in those days, murdering somebody who tortures and rapes your sister is something that was common and something that was allowed. And if you think about it, okay, why are they allowed to hurt Chamor? Well, let's look at Chamor a little deeper. If you look at source 22, maybe we could see Chamor is just as evil. Because you see, Chamor seems all cheery and nice. Ah, let's be friends. Oh, those are the people you're more scared of than the people who are mean, right? Chamor comes to the brothers and gives them a nice plan. We'll marry. We'll be one nation. Pasuk Yud, Vitanu Teshevu, you'll live with us. Baretz Tielu. Oh, you could have our land. Shavu, v'sachruha, v'asuba. Enjoy. You can trade in it. You can have good times in it. You'll be successful. This is good for you, brothers. And then when the brothers agree, skip to Pasuk Tet Zayin, which should be the next Pasuk I gave you. V'natanu es benotechem, yeah, we'll marry each other, sure, this is what we're agreeing to. V'yashavnu itchem, we'll live with you, we'll be one nation, it'll be good for both of us. Comes Hamor now. And has to present this to his people. And he needs to convince the people to have a bris milah. And that's where the true intentions of Chamor is revealed. Yeah, we'll marry each other. Yeah, we'll be one nation. But look where I bolded and I underlined. Pasuk Chav Gimel. Umiknehem v'kinyanam v'kol behem tam halolanuhem. We're going to get all their stuff. They think they're making this nice plan. But what's my secret motive? What am I telling you, my people? We're going to get all their stuff. We are going to steal from them. We are going to rob them. We are not going to be very nice. And all of a sudden, you see the evil of Chamor that Shimon and Levi figured out. This is not a nice guy. A father's trying to cover up for his son. This is someone evil as well. But you're still left with the nagging question of the whole city. What's with the whole city? And the Mefarshim jump in. Source 23, the Ramban tells us in the name of the Rambam, because the Ramban himself thinks they were wrong. But he quotes the Rambam, and the Rambam says they were right. Because you know what? The people in those days, they did have the laws, the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, which is that they needed dinim. They needed judges. They needed courts. And here their prince went, raped a woman, and then wanted to steal her and keep her. They should have judged him. They should have put him in jail. And they didn't. And for that, they deserved to die, says the Rambam. The Abarbanel quotes this in Source 24, but adds in the view I just mentioned, which is if you look closely at the words of Chamor, he says, we'll get all their stuff. And that's when the city says, great, we'll have a bris milah, which means the intention of all the people in the city was to rob and was to take all the belongings away from the children of Yaakov. They were all evil, and Shimon and Levi knew that. So we have so many reasons to believe they were wrong. We have so many reasons to believe they were right, and we could debate this for another few hours. But to me, what's important is I see the personality traits of Shimon and Levi. I see the anger, I see the zealousness, and I see their big, big priority of defending their sister. You see, if you look at Source 25, something is revealed. They're within the text is trying to tell us Shimon and Levi are picking up where their father fell short. Their father, as we said nothing, did nothing, didn't negotiate, didn't do anything. Look at the psukim again in the words that I highlighted, Source 25. She starts out being described as Dina bat Leah, because specifically the fact that she comes from Leah, as opposed to Rachel, is going to explain to us the treatment of her father. When the story begins, we're told she is Dina bat Yaakov, which is the way all women are always described in the name of their father. But then when he's quiet, the changes. She's Dina Achotam, she's the sister. She's Shimon v'Levi Achei Dina, Shimon v'Levi, the brother and sister of Dina. We have Achotam, Achotenu, over and over again. Because the brothers have to step in where the father is not doing what he's supposed to do. They must defend her. I gave you an article here in Source 26, a beautiful article by Rav Tamir Granit, which is found on the VBM, Virtual Beit Midrash. And he writes that this is the storyline behind the story, which is that the backdrop is about the fact that Yaakov chooses Rachel over Leah in an obvious way. Then he chooses Yosef over the rest of the brothers in an obvious way. And then where I bolded, in between these two endpoints, his relative apathy concerning the fate of Leah's daughters galvanizes her brothers, Shimon and Levi, born of the same mother, into action that gets out of control and ends in mass slaughter. He writes how the brothers take over. They get out of control. They go too far. But it's all rooted in their sense of devotion to their family, specifically the children of Leah. So I don't know good or bad. I don't know. I'm not God. I'm not judging. But what I know is the personalities. Ramban points it out to me. Look where I've underlined Source 27. Bikinatam al ha'achva asu masha asu. What they did was because of their zealousness, their fervor for brotherhood, for family, for somebody who does something against their family member, they will not stand by and be quiet. They will act out. The Bechor Shor, Shayu Balikas, they had tempers, they were angry, and they're going to act out in a rash way in revenge. This is the personality. This is where we see them being so alike. But then there's a change. Because we have Shimon up in other stories where Levi is not involved. And I'm going to run through them quickly. In Source 28, Yosef keeps Shimon in jail. And you have to ask why. Why do you keep him in jail? Well, the brothers were in jail. He sent them all home. Keep Shimon. You could say it's random, but I do not believe anything Yosef did in those chapters are random at all. They're too thought out, too perfect. So therefore, it must be based on something else. It could be based on the story we already know about the story of Shechem. And why Shimon and not Levi is already telling us a hint again. Shimon is more violent than Levi. He's scared. What's going to happen? I acted crazy. I called them spies. I sent them home. I said, bring your brother. Shimon, if I let him go, or Shimon and Levi together, if I let him go, they'll murder me in my sleep. He's violent. He's scary. I got to keep him in jail. So maybe it's because Shimon is more extreme, or maybe as Rashi writes in Source 28, because he just wanted to separate Shimon from Levi. The two of them together are dangerous. Or maybe it had to do with the treatment that Shimon gave Yosef for all those years when Yosef lived at home. I find it interesting in Source 29, when the brothers are mean to Yosef, it says over and over again, Vayisnu oto, Vayosifu od sno oto, Vayosifu od sno oto. They hated him. The shorash of hatred is used over and over. And that word I know, that's Shimon's name. Ki snu'a anochi. That's the name of Shimon. It is possible Shimon was the meanest. It's possible Shimon hated Yosef the most. And that's why Yosef puts him into jail. Or it's possible Source 30, as Rashi brings down, when the brothers are talking to each other on that fateful day, Vayomer Isha Lachiv, and one says to the other, let's kill him, murder him, and throw him into a pit. Says Rashi, who is Isha Lachiv? It's our two Achim. It's our Shimon and our Levi. Shimon plotted to murder Yosef. Maybe he heard him. Maybe he thought it was him that was so evil, and that's why he throws him into jail. Or Rashi in 31, who says Shimon was the one who lifted him up and threw him into the pit. Whatever it is in this storyline, we all of a sudden highlight that maybe Shimon is more violent than Levi. Maybe Shimon was a little bit worse than Levi, and that's why he is singled out and not Levi. But there's one more story. You see, Shimon seems to rebel again in Source 32. Because when we are listing, we're now on our way down to Mitzrayim, we're in Perek Membav, and we're listing the Shivim Nefesh, all the people coming down to Egypt, and it tells us Shimon's children, and the last child, Shaul ben Haknanit. Shaul, the son of a female from Canaan, he seemed to have married a Canaanite, a woman from Canaan. And we know in Bereshit over and over again, the Avot say, Abraham says, Yitzchak is not allowed to marry a woman from Canaan. Right? Yaakov is told, do not marry a woman from Canaan. It is unclear if the Shvatim were allowed to or not. It's debated in Chazal. But for those who believe, they certainly were not. Like Ibn Ezra in Source 34, Ba'avur she'asa Shimon shelo kahogan lekachas Canaanite. How dare you take a Canaanite Shimon? What a statement you are saying against your father's values by taking a woman from Canaan. And it's not just his father's values and Avram's values and Yitzchak's values. It's the Jewish values. Source 33. In Devarim, we are also told, when you get into the land of Canaan, do not marry the women from Canaan. There is something corrupt about them. There is something immoral about them. And then when Shimon goes and marries this woman, it's another step in the wrong direction. It's another spit in his father's face. It's another rebellion against the father that he thinks was unjust. Now I want to bring in one other slight comment for a moment. Source 35, Rashi brings out an interesting interpretation that possibly this child was actually Dina's child, Dina who was pregnant from Shechem, and the only way she would leave the palace that night is if Shimon promised to marry her. So after we get over the ew of what that sounds like, realize that's part of the personality of Shimon to right the wrong, right? I'm going to stick up for my sister no matter what. Maybe there's a positivity being shown to us in this medrash that Rashi is quoting, that Shimon would do anything to right the wrong of his sister, even marry her and raise that child as his own, and not let her live with the embarrassment of never being married and of having a child from the man who raped her. But when we get to the end of Bereshit, we have a lot of stories about Shimon. We see this personality of fight for the injustice, fight against injustice, anger, violence, rebellion in Shimon. But on the other hand, Levi just has this one story. Their personalities seem to be similar, but they take these dramatic turns, which are really quite interesting. When we get to the rest of Torah, Source 36, we have really one descendant from Shimon that we know very well, and he is Zimri. In the story of Bamidbar Chavhei, there is a man who gets up, who happens to be the Nasi of Shimon, the leader of the tribe of Shimon, not just a person, but the leader of the tribe, who gets up, Le'enei Moshe, Le'enei Kol Adat B'nei Yisrael, in front of everyone, to have sexual relations with a woman from Midian, who happens to be by the name of Cusbi. Says the Ramban, we need to know this is not a sexual act. This wasn't a taiva that he had, because then you do it in the privacy of your tent. When you do it, le'enei Moshe, le'enei kol adat b'nei Yisrael, then your goal is, as Ramban writes, limrod b'Moshe. You are rebelling. You are spitting at Moshe the way Shimon did to his father, u'b'shoftim, and to other leaders. V'la'aso came before Hesya, to do it in so public. And Rashi takes it one step further. Again, this is about fighting against an injustice, says Rashi. Source 37, this is the same personality. What did he do? He took this Midian woman, marched himself over to Moshe and said, Zua Sura? O Muteret, am I allowed to sleep with this woman from Midian, or is she forbidden to me? Im Tomara Sura, if you're going to say to me she's forbidden, which he clearly is going to say, he's going to say back, Ben Yitro, Mihatira Lacha, hey, you're married to a Midjani woman. See, Pora's from Midian, how dare you? What injustice. You can do it, but I can't. This is the personality of Shimon throughout history. Therefore, in Birkas Moshe, he's missing. Moshe blesses all the tribes, leaves out Shimon. It's as if he doesn't exist. We come back to our Midrash, Source 38. Of all the Shvatim, he is the only one without a leader. Mishevet Shimon lo kam lo shov lo melech. Bishvil hachecha, says Zimri b'shvatim, because how terrible what Zimri did, they get no leader. But not only that, when land is given out to the tribe, Source 39, in Sefer Yoshua, Shimon doesn't even get a piece of land. He's inside the property of Yehuda. He's swallowed inside his brother's nachala. He doesn't even get to have his own property. That's Shimon, rejected, doesn't have his own land, doesn't get a bracha from Moshe, doesn't get leadership. This is the conclusion of Shimon. Then comes Levi. Levi in Torah is the chosen tribe. Source 40, separate Levi, v'hayuli halevim, how beautiful. My father's from Levi, I'm a bat Levi. He talks to me. How beautiful. We are God's chosen tribe. And then there's tons of leaders. Moshe, Aaron, Pinchas, Eli, Elkanah, Shmuel, Hazael, Eliyahu, and Navi. Leaders all coming from Levi. So you have to say, why? He's got the same personality. Why? And I'll tell you, he really does have the same personality. If you think about Moshe Rabbeinu and so many of these characters, they get angry a lot. They scream a lot. They get mad and have kin'ah, zealous for God, a lot. If you look at source 41, I'm not reading all these sources, all the times Moshe gets mad and there are more, and he yells. They leave over the man. He screams. Chayta Egel, he really gets angry. He even breaks the luchot. They ask for meat. He even asks to die. They complain for water. He gets mad over and over. Shmuel HaNavi, in source 42, from the tribe of Levi, gets so mad when they ask for a king, screams numerous times. Eliyahu HaNavi, if we assume, as Chazal says in source 43, he's Pinchas, he must be from the tribe of Levi. He kino kanesi la Hashem. He is as zealous as could be for God. He gets mad when the Jews keep serving Avodah Zarah. They get mad. They fight against injustice too. Source 44, Moshe's entire beginning of his life is about fighting against injustices. He kills the Mitzri, who's hurting the Jew. He yells at the two Jews fighting each other. He chases away the shepherds who are annoying Zipporah and her sisters. That's his persona. I fight for the downtrodden. I fight against injustice. But if I want to look at the ideal Shimon versus Levi personality, I got to go back to my story of Zimri. Because the person who takes down Zimri is Pinchas. And they are both as rash and as violent and, I'll be honest, a little crazy as they are, both of them. Zimri, to go out with the chutzpah in front of Moshe Rabbeinu and to have relations with a woman, it's nauseous, in front of Am Yisrael, that takes something. And then for Pinchas to take a spear and to stab the two, oh my gosh, that is the epitome of a Shimon and a Levi character going at each other. But the difference here is so strong, because if you look at source 45, the language of Pinchas, the Levi character, God says, Kano, it's Kanasi, but Toham is the same personality. He's zealous. But where's the difference? Tachas asher kine lelokav. Levi is just as angry and just as zealous, but it's for God. It's for good things. Shimon, it's for rebellion and it's for bad. As the Ramban points out, it's about being kinah, that's fine. But it's la'elokav, that's what's important. It's for the right reasons. Along comes the Toldo Yitzchak in source 47 and says about this story. Va'ataba Pinchas Shehu Mishevet Levi, Vishiber Ha'achva Sheharazan Asi Shimon. In this story, Pinchas from Levi shatters the brotherhood of Shimon and Levi. Im kein mikan ve'elech yihiyah mechama gedola ben Shimon ve'Levi. From then on, Shimon and Levi are enemies. They hate each other. Until then, they were brothers. Shimon ve'Levi achim. It's all over now. The Medrash takes its source 48 one step further. The entire tribe of Shimon tried to murder Pinchas against Levi, and a malach came down and stopped. But there's another story that Chazal attribute to a Shimon and Levi face-off. Source 49. Chayta Egel, we're worshiping the golden calf. Moshe screams out from the tribe of Levi, Mi la Hashem Eli, we all know these words, gather to me if you're with God. And what happens? Vayesu elav kol b'nei Levi. Comes b'nei Levi and he commands them, murder all the people serving the idol, and look at the words, Hergu ish et achiv. Each man now kill your brother. Comes along the Malbim and many other Mefarshim in source 50 and says this language, Ish Elachiv, reminds us of Vayomru Ish Elachiv, about the dreams of Yosef, about killing Yosef and hurting Yosef, that Shimon and Levi. And therefore this story of Chayta Egel is Levi murdering again the tribe of Shimon. Shimon worshipping the golden calf. Shimon being the leader of the rebellion. Malbim continues to prove it by the numbers of Shimon going down. Shimon being the instigator of issues. Levi being the one to murder them, take them down, because they are kin'ah la'Hashem. So what we see very clearly is they're similar. They have the same personalities. They both have a fire. They both have a desire to fight against injustice, but They just do it differently. One does it in a positive way, and one does it in a negative way. And that's what Yaakov knew. Says the Toldot Yitzchak so beautifully in Source 51. Why did Yaakov bless them together? Why didn't he see into the future Moshe Rabbeinu and bless Levi? And see into the future Zimri and curse Shimon? Why did he put them together and scream at them both? And realize he doesn't curse them. He curses their personality. Says Toldot Yitzchak, it's for a very simple reason. Yaakov ra'a ma'aleh bahem v'racha chisaron. He saw that the traits and personalities they had could be great, or it could be really bad. You have good in you, and you have bad in you. But he didn't know, v'lo yada, shema'aleh yalevi v'chisaron l'shimon. God didn't give him that insight. He didn't know which one was going to be which. He didn't know good was going to come from Levi and bad from Shimon. It came mixed together. One's going to be good, one's going to be bad. Lifi, why? And here's the key. They had the same personality. They both have the traits that are in bless Levi, and he couldn't curse Shimon because he didn't know which was the one that in the future was going to use the traits for good and which one was going to use it for bad. He didn't know. Ulefi rai bodesh ha-shleimus tavo lemish ha-ra'uilo. He saw that in the future, it will be what it will be. Shleimus will come to the one that deserves it, the one that uses it for good. And bad, pchitut tavo lemish ha-ra'uilo, the one that uses it for bad, he'll get what's coming to him. And that's why the punishment of Yaakov is translated differently for Shimon and Levi. Source 52 again, he says, Achakem b'Yaakov v'apitzeim b'Yitzrael, it's one curse to both. I will scatter them. However, when it comes to Shimon, I told you already, he doesn't get a piece of land. What happens is he's in that bottom corner. Yehuda is surrounding him. It's like no one is allowed to be near Shimon. Yehuda, the strong brother, has to protect everyone from Shimon. Shimon stays away from everyone. And Yehuda keeps him under control because he's dangerous. Levi, though, look at Source 53. He doesn't get his own piece of land. That's true. And he literally is afitzein b'Yisrael. Vayitznu b'nei Yisrael la'leviyim minachal atam al pi Hashem et ha'arim ha'elav esbikrushehem. Inside, all of the other tribes are little cities of Levi. Levi is scattered amongst the Jewish people. Says Radak, inside each one. That was the ending of this curse. Shimon, cowering in the corner. Levi is scattered. What's the message? Levi in the future proves he's good. He's good in small dosages. Too much Levi is scary. But in small dosages, Levi's not only okay. Levi is wonderful. Levi is a role model. Levi is a leader. Levi steps up. So I need to scatter him so everybody can get a piece of Levi. Everybody's got to get influenced by Levi. Not too much Levi, but a bit of Levi. Shimon, no one's allowed to touch. No one's allowed to be near. The story of Shimon and Levi is an interesting one. Because I could understand when I look at the children of Yaakov that the destinies of Reuven is going to be so different than Yehuda. Because their personalities are like opposites of each other. But that Shimon and Levi end up with opposite realities, that's the shocker. But that's what teaches me the important lesson. You see, there are lots of personality traits that are out there. Some are good, and some are more not so good. But the point is, every personality trait can be used for good. I could take something like anger, which normally we think of anger as something that's bad. And I could get angry at everything. I could complain about everything. I could be angry all the time. That's bad. But I can take my anger about a cause, and instead of walking around mad, I go and I fix the cause. I take it upon myself to make a project so I can fix the thing that gets me mad. Well, that's pretty good. I can be a zealous person for a bad cause. I could be zealous for a good cause. I can take these traits and I can use them in different ways. And that's why I can have two children who are so similar, can have different realities, just as much as I can have two children that are so different, who also have different. But with that, in my 2 minutes, I would like to answer my first question. When we on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur promise God, this year will be different. This year I'm gonna change. This year I'm going to be better. You know all those things I did last year, and I list them and I think about them, and I sincerely believe I'm not going to do them again. But how is it that I'm actually not going to? And I think that's the difference here between saying I'm going to change versus I'm going to learn from Levi. You see, changing who you are is very hard. God gave us personalities, God gave us talents, God gave us traits. If you are a quiet person, it is very hard to be loud. That is a very hard thing to do. If you are a loud person, it's equally challenging to be quiet. It just is. But so we're not saying I want to change, because if I say I want to change, then I'm setting myself up for failure, and I'm back to Chatasi and Avisi again next year, and I'm back standing in the same place. But if instead of saying I'm going to change who I am, I take Levi. Levi didn't change. Levi was the same from when we met him in Bereishit throughout history. He has kas. He has kin'ah. He's the same. But he just decided that as opposed to Shimon, I'm going to use it for good. We all have character traits that can go in both directions. I can use them for good, or I can use them for bad. So then this year, instead of saying I'm going to change, let's not say that. Let's say I'm going to take who I am. I'm going to take the personality God gave me and God blessed me with. I'm going to take the talents that I have and I'm going to recognize them. I'm not going to wish for a different talent. But this year, I'm going to take them all and I'm going to use them for the good. I'm going to constantly be thinking, what can I do with something that maybe is negative in me? And take that and cherish it, because I'm going to use it for the better this year. I'm going to be like Levi, who takes his kas and goes after people who do injustices. I'm going to solve things that are wrong. I'm going to stick up for people when they need me to stick up for them. That's Levi. And that's what we all should learn. And that's what we should all do. When we stand in front of God this Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and our entire lives, we should promise to Him we will use all the kochot, the strengths, the personality, the talents, and everything that He blessed us with, and we will try to use them, LaHashem, for the sake of God, for the sake of our families, our communities, and Klal Yisrael. Thank you very much.